Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another guy that makes fun of Jeff is our friend Barstool Nate. B, get ready. Nate Dogg, how you feeling about these Washington Commanders?
Why did you say B, get ready? Because he has to say how correct I've been about everything and how correct I've been about Jaden.
We're all on the same team here.
I don't think you have to say about being correct on this show because nobody knocked Jaden on this show.
That's true.
No, it is.
And I want to talk to some other show, but not this show.
being 4-1 with a MVP candidate as a rookie quarterback is so bizarre that I'm having a hard time, and I think a lot of people are having a hard time fully processing what we're seeing. And I compared it to what I know it's early, and I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. What if this is how Chiefs fans felt when they started watching Mahomes just be really good? And then every week you're like, all right, is this who he is? Or is he just like playing, you know, above and he'll come back down to expectation? What if Jaden is just this good and this is just who he is and this is what our team is and we have this MVP candidate quarterback for the next decade? What if that's actually what we're watching right now? That is crazy to think about.
It could be what we're watching, but I think just let it happen, though. You know, just let it happen.
Here's something that's really interesting. I just looked this up, too. Now, remember, Mahomes didn't start as a rookie. He sat behind Alex and then played that Week 17 game. Yep. But Mahomes' first year as a starter, where he went on to win MVP and they lost in the AFC title game to the Pats in overtime, they did start 5-1. Now, they started 5-0 before a loss in Foxborough to drop to 5-1. But it'll be if this team gets to 5-1, that'll be a pretty interesting little talking point.
Yep. Nate, let me just say this like while JP's talking. JP is very much like you. He just trying to hold it. He trying to pump the brakes a little bit. He can't wait to come. Listen,
I think there's a chance this kid is absolutely the real deal. I think we've seen enough to start thinking that.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you're going to be just like Nate. You can't wait. I see it every day. I can see you just ready to go, dog.
I think through 5 weeks with the thing I was most impressed by, and I continue to say this, is they scored 34 against a – at least a defense with good parts. Maybe the sum of the parts is not equal to the whole or whatever that phrase is. But that defense has good parts. They scored 34, and I don't think Jaden, at least to start the game, played all that well. And they were still able to move the ball at just a remarkable clip.
What that showed you is, and I'll say this, and I hope people don't take it the wrong way, it shows you the team is more than just Jaden. Because he didn't play as good early on, but you had a lot of people making a lot of plays to help him out. And when the other side's offense sucks and their defense is always out there, yeah, they're going to play bad too. But it's a great thing going on. It's just like I'm saying, I know you are chomping at the bit to let your hair down too. We joke about Nate, but you're right there. I know.
Nate's written blogs about him going to the Hall of Fame. I don't think I've gone.
No, nah, you're not ignorant like that. You just like him. You ready to go too? I understand it. It's all good. It's fun.
It was the first half of the Browns game. Jim Schwartz, defensive coordinator for the Browns, threw everything he could at Jaden to confuse him. He has a good defense there in Cleveland. It was probably Jaden's worst half. I put that in quotes. Worst half as a pro. He still had over 200 total yards. Went 2-for-2 on fourth downs, and we were up 24-3 at the half. And that's in Jaden's worst half as a pro. It is remarkable what the defense is doing, feeding off the offense, what the offense is doing. You know, not the most skilled players outside of Jaden, B-Rob, Eckler, and Terry. You know, there's a lot of other Ertz, obviously a little slower than we would want, but those depth receivers are all stepping up. The offensive line just playing like a bunch of dogs down in the trenches, and just everybody is just stepping up and elevating their game. And it comes down to great coaching. I think Cliff Kingsbury is calling he's calling perfect games. He is doing such a remarkable job that every play call makes sense. Every play call is being executed. And if it's not there, Jaden is taking it under his wing and running with the ball. As we know, sometimes he is missing open receivers downfield, and that'll come with time, and that'll come with, you know, just him getting better at going through his progressions. But I would say this is the most prepared team I think we've seen in a long time. And it's just the most hyped team, I want to say. Just the energy that they have, everybody playing off the ball, guys getting downfield to throw blocks. There's no Albert Haynesworth laying on the field. There's none of that. It's just everybody having everybody else's back and everybody elevating their game to the next level. And that's how you become a great franchise year after year. And that's what we've been begging for, and that's what we're seeing now. And it's special.
How impressive?
What's been the most? Go ahead, Jay.
No, go ahead.
I just want to find out what's other than Jaden. What's been the one thing that has, you know, make you go, wow, I can't believe this is happening?
Lack of turnovers. I think the reason rookie quarterbacks do sit is because the game is so fast from college to NFL, and it's so hard to remember when you're at the NFL level that a ball you could squeeze into a window in college is no longer a window in the NFL. And Jaden, besides that one red zone pick, isn't doing that. And he's also not fumbling. For as much as he's running, just not fumbling. He's protecting the ball. He's getting down when he needs to. He's getting out of bounds when he needs to. Just his awareness and his lack of needing to force a play is so impressive to me. He's not just, oh, Terry's down there somewhere lobbing it up, you know, 70 yards in the air, hoping that his guy comes down with it. He's not forcing anything, but he's still converting on fourth downs when he needs to. He's still just doing perfect, you know, just doing everything perfect on third down. And as we saw, Tress has barely even been on the field. He doesn't even have to punt because Jaden's so good at knowing where the sticks are and just moving the ball up the field. And I think it's beyond impressive what he's doing at, you know, 5 weeks in.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, man. I think the offensive line deserves a ton of credit, and that hasn't necessarily happened enough. And it's hard to, like, really, you know, the vast majority of us can't get too deep on O-line play, right? But I think they've protected him well and given him good opportunities. And I think the way they're running the football makes any quarterback better. I mean, they're running the absolute snot out of the football right now.
Yeah, and making it so it's not, you know, third and 12 every single time. It's just every – I mean, we saw it. They didn't punt for two straight games where it was just because Jaden's so aware. I think his awareness level is so off the charts that he just always knows, all I need to do is pick up this first down. I don't need to force it. I don't need to bomb the ball 40 yards across the middle to try to pick up this huge chunk. He just gets the game. It just, like, comes to him so naturally. And besides, going back to the O-line, besides that one game when they had like eight offensive line penalties and it was a disaster, they've played great. It's been so remarkable to see how well the coaching staff has gotten this entire team to play. I'm so impressed.
So, obviously, the big game coming. We're talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the BetQL guest line. You can follow him at Barstool Nate on X and Instagram. Looking ahead at this Ravens game, what are the results you see as possible, and what are the results that you are okay with?
I mean, obviously possible is Jaden doesn't slow down at all. He goes toe-to-toe with two-time MVP Lamar Jackson and comes out on top. I don't think there's anybody who has watched this Commanders team who thinks that we can't win this game. Now, that being said, the Ravens are still the Ravens. You can be flying high. You go into Baltimore, they can just punch you in the face and humble you really, really, really quickly. I mean, Lamar is all-world talent that franchise does not miss. You know, like, Baltimore is Baltimore for a reason. We are trying to become that sort of franchise where teams don't want to play you, where teams don't want to go into your stadium. teams don't want anything to do with you. We want to get there. So this is it's a early test where I think we can all agree zero people came into the season putting a W on this game. Now we can realistically say we can win this game. Will we as a fan base and franchise be completely stunned and in tears if we lose the game? I would say no. We would just be 4-2 having lost to a perennial Super Bowl team in the Ravens. But I do think a win is possible, and I'm kind of glad, as I said, that it's the 1 p.m. game and not a national game, because I like the idea of Jaden just treating it like any other game. You get up, you go to your 1 p.m. game, you clock in, you clock out. No bright lights, no prime time, none of that. I think that this game, as big as it is, I like that it's still just local 1 p.m. CBS.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think
that's the way he treats the game. If it's at night, he doesn't care what time the game is. He just views it like that. So I wouldn't care if it's a primetime game when it comes to him. But I would say this: the Ravens probably looked at it like a lot. Like you said, everybody thought this would be an L for us. If they don't play a good game, they know they could be in trouble.
Yep. Yeah, and they started off the season 0-2. I mean, losing at the Chiefs, fine, but then a terrible loss to the Raiders. So they are on a 3-game win streak. They had that crazy game against the Bengals this last week. So, yeah, like maybe this is more of a close matchup than people even I want to give it credit for. I don't know. It's so hard to make heads or tails of this Commanders team, maybe because of the expectations. We finally, as a fan base, kept expectations low coming into the season, and now they're surpassing all expectations, and we kind of want to catch up to those expectations and be like, hell yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm trying, unlike you guys, trying to stay level, trying to stay, keep my head right at water. But a win on Sunday in Baltimore, I mean, that would be something. That would be the biggest win this franchise has had.
If they win Sunday, we're not talking to you Tuesday.
But, B, I saw you in the tunnel after the win, like, over the Browns, and you said,
JP,
man, they really got something. Like, you said that to me.
I told you they had something from the beginning of the season with them, but I'm not going to talk about Super Bowl right now. I promise you that.
Yeah, I don't. Outside of the Chiefs, I don't think there's a team that should.
But that's what I'm saying. I told you they have something in a quarterback and the way that they're playing. You can see all that coming together, but I'm not saying anything else. If I even think it, I'm not saying it.
And to the Chiefs, I mean, Monday Night Football last night, and JP, I know you were tweeting about it. They spent a minute talking about Jaden. They had a graphic on the screen. They threw around the letters MVP talking about him. And this is in a game with Patrick Mahomes in it, and they're discussing someone else being the MVP, and that someone else is our quarterback. That's how you know you're in la-la land. It's like, what in the world is happening right now? And that's just, I guess that's just who we are now. We have to somehow get used to it. I don't know how long it's going to take to get used to it, but I guess we just have to get used to just Jaden being in these discussions. It's nuts, dude.
It is interesting because the numbers, and what will actually be kind of fun is we have this dude, Nick Ackridge, joining us at noon. And Nick's a good guy, and I applaud him for this because, Nate, I think you'll remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think you were on Jaden the whole time in the pre-draft process, right? But
I was more, I trust Adam Peters to take the best quarterback to his knowledge, and I'm just going to ride with him. Because I don't watch enough tape of Drake May or Jaden to really, be able to break down their intangibles and all that stuff. So I just trust, I trust the guys that they put in charge. So when we took Jaden, it's like, hell yeah, that's my guy. I ride or die with him.
Well, a lot of folks, whether they should or shouldn't have, identified who they wanted as quarterback, and it wasn't Jaden. And then with Cliff, they were convinced that nothing was going to work. And there was like kind of this analytical drive to say what was and wasn't going to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the sample's too small, and maybe the defenses have been really bad. Like, allowing that it's entirely possible for things to fall back to earth and that they're not always going to score 30. Like, of course that's a possibility. But at least Akridge covers the Commanders for Pro Football Focus. And he had this tweet the other day that caught my attention. I asked Landfill to book him, and he got him on the show. He's like, yo, I owe Cliff an apology. Do you think some of that, where it's like it was so easy to be dismissive of what Washington was building, like, do you think some of that is kind of happening nationally? To your point about Troy Aikman talking about him last night during Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and I think the pre-draft process is always so cynical. There's always people who think they know more than everybody else, and they're so loud and annoying about it, which is why I am just humbly take the other approach. I think it's impossible to know which guy coming out of college is going to be the guy. I mean, the Bears took Caleb number one, and that was the consensus number one overall pick, right? And we got fortunate that Jaden came to us at number two. And so, like, is Caleb going to be bad? I don't know. He who knows? But he's not doing what Jaden's doing right now. And I'm not trying to compare the two. It's more to say we need to just chill out, and Cliff's not going to do this, and we need to get this type of guy. Nobody knows. It's just, this is a perfect match we have in Washington, and we just have to hope. And I Josh Harris is not a cheap guy, so we just have to hope that they keep these two together, because it's peanut butter and jelly out there. It's spaghetti and meatballs. It's Jaden and Cliff. They are just working unbelievably perfect together. And is it luck? Is it Adam Peters being a genius? I don't know which one it is. I don't really care, because we have them, and I want them locked up for the next, 10 years here in Washington.
Well, they're probably not going to be locked up for the next 10 years. But I can tell you this. The guy you got that's taking the snap, number five, he's very much like that guy that wears number 15, where they put all the work in. Pat has had more than one offensive coordinator. And I think as you go down the line, Jaden stays the guy he's been. Doesn't make a difference who's the offensive coordinator, because he has that drive that's going to push him farther than any other coach is going to push him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not doubting that at all. But when I see something working this well, I know it's not going to happen, but, it just happened in Detroit. He said, no, I don't want the head coaching job. I like being the offensive coordinator. Sometimes you don't have to go be a head coach anywhere. Sometimes you can be the best offensive coordinator in the league and get paid like it and, just be comfortable. And I'm hoping that's what happens here in D.C.
I think specific to that conversation about, oh, they can lose Cliff. I mean, I saw that popping up after like the third week, right?
Oh, yeah. Grant Paulson was trying to get that conversation started. I had to yell at him. I was like, Grant, delete this right now.
You call him at 2 o'clock and take that up.
Monday Night Football, he's talking about where Cliff's going to be next year.
My only point is Adam Gase got not one but two head coaching jobs because he was around Peyton Manning, and people are like, man, this Gase guy must really know what he's doing. The great player often performs regardless of who the OC is. And I'm not saying Jaden's Peyton, and I'm not saying Cliff is Gase. I like Cliff. I really like his demeanor. I think his calm coolness helps Jaden. I think they're both very similar in that capacity. I think they both played quarterback at a high level on the college level and have like a bond. I think it's entirely premature to worry about. The other part of this is, keep in mind, Cliff is getting paid still by Arizona. So it's not like there's a cash consideration here. Everybody always wants more money. That's fine. But, like, they've also built a staff. Obviously, Cliff is the headliner there. You still have Tevita Pritchard, who is a quarterback at Stanford, quarterback's coach, highly regarded. They add David Blau to the staff. You have Brian Johnson, whose quarterback reputation and Brian Johnson was the hot name OC to start last year. Do you think it's Brian Johnson's fault that things are still kind of sluggish in Philly? Or do you think it might have something to do with the guy running the operation? Because I got a feeling it ain't Brian Johnson. But I'm just saying, they've built a room that, should there be changes, should be able to withstand it. And the track record suggests if Jaden is who these numbers are suggesting he is, he'll be okay anyway.
Yeah, totally. And we have that firsthand knowledge because we took a certain OC from the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs are doing just fine, and I think that OC is averaging 12 points a game at UCLA right now.
Right.
So,
players matter most. Nate Dogg, we're way over. As always, fun conversation.
Appreciate
all right,
you
Nate,
guys.
Take care, brother.
That's see you guys. Our friend Nate.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.